Pennsylvania when I got the
this. great gathering outside today for our early worship service. We had over 70 individuals out in the parking lot this morning as we celebrate our graduates. It is Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday where the Christian church celebrates the giving of the Holy Spirit. But it's also a day of celebration here at First Baptist Elon as we have recognized our graduates this morning. In just a few minutes, you'll get a chance to see our graduates from some of those early years in their life up to today. But it is a good day to gather in the Lord's house this day. And for those that are joining us Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining with your family and friends this morning for worship. I do want to remind this morning our ministry teams that we do have church council this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Truth Seeker Sunday School classroom. So please make sure you come to that meeting this afternoon or send a representative from your team. We would appreciate that for today. I also want to remind you about our Wednesday Bible study. We are coming close to wrapping up our study of the Lord's Prayer this week in Session 5. We'll be looking at the next line in the Lord's Prayer as we've been breaking it down this week. So this week we're going to look at the line, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What does that mean? What does it mean to be delivered? What is that temptation that Jesus taught us to pray about in the Lord's Prayer? I hope you join me on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. If you haven't had a chance to join us before, you can go on our Facebook page and pull up the previous sessions, kind of catch up where we are as we continue to progress through the Lord's Prayer. Also, this morning it is a day of celebration because tomorrow the parking lot's getting bleak. We're getting it worked up. It starts tomorrow morning. So I do want to remind our church family, if you had the idea and thought to come by the church this week, please don't. Please don't come by because you will not be able to pull in the parking lot. And that's a good thing. Our church staff will be working off-site at our homes today this week. Jay and I are going to be planning to visit quite a few people this week. But if you need to get in contact us via our cell phone numbers, and y'all have those numbers already. But contact us that way, and hopefully the weather is nice this week. It'll be a pleasant week where they're able to do all their work and get it done in a week. And we look forward to gathering back here next Sunday morning. But please, please don't come by the church this week. Stay home, unless you just want to come drive by and see how it's going. And you can do that, and then you can send Gay or myself a text and say, "Hey, this is what's happening." So anyway, that's coming up this week. We're excited about that. Also, this week you received the email. There's also some copies in your foyer. This morning it is that time for deacon nominations for this upcoming church year. And we want to get your feedback. Who are the individuals within our church body that you think would be good servants of the body, which is what a deacon is, to serve the body of Christ. Over the next couple weeks, we'll have opportunities to fill names out and drop them in the offering plate as you come in or as you leave this morning. You can also bring it by the church office, not this week, but next week, and we'll be collecting those names over the next couple weeks. June 6th will be the deadline when we need those sheets back in so our deacon nominating team can get their work started. There are sheets on the end. As you walk out today, you can pick up one of those forms as you leave today to write names down if you want to. Last but not least, in a couple weeks, Sunday, June 6th, we will be having our Elon Roundtable meeting. This is our every other month meeting that we do. This is our business meeting for our church body. One of the items that we'll be discussing and voting on is the changes to the bylaws. You received those via email this week. There are also copies as you leave today about the changes that will be voted on in just 2 weeks. But I want to make sure you're aware of those, give you a chance to look at them. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to myself or Gay. You can also contact either Alec French or Amy Harrison, who have been charged of putting those bylaws changes together. But again, we look forward to the time of meeting of business in 2 weeks, and we hope you'll be a part of that meeting at 5 p.m. on June 6th. Many other things that went on in the life of our church. I hope you received the newsletter this week to see things coming up in the month of June. I hope you'll be a part of it, participate in. We are gathered here to worship this day, and as we gather here on Pentecost Sunday, let us read God's Word. Acts chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 6 this morning. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language." think about the Spirit speaking so many years ago to individuals in their own language, He still speaks to us today. And we can celebrate that fact and celebrate that we know the Holy Spirit is with us this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and lift praise to the Spirit who is in our midst. Let's pray. Holy One, ignite within us today a fiery passion for your mission to the world. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame, that we may feel your kindling blaze within us, urging us to do greater good. Make us wholly present, Father, to experience a new birth and awaken possibilities within us to share your love in this world. In this love and abundance, we come to celebrate your harvest this day, a harvest bearing the first fruits of the Spirit within us. Show us how to use these gifts, Father, as we listen for your truth in the gentle breeze of your Holy Spirit. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord this morning, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. And in John 8:12, it tells us, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we sing this, think about, am I the light of the world? Am I shining for Jesus? Let's stand and let's worship together.
opportunity to honor our graduates this morning at our outside worship service this morning. This year, we celebrate with 11 graduates from First Baptist Church of Elam. And we are thankful they were able to be with us this morning, and we celebrate on their future accomplishments. As I told them, Graduate Sunday is always a bittersweet Sunday. It's a day of celebration, which brings us great joy, but it's also a day of a little bit of sadness, because many of our graduates, our high school graduates, will be going on to college in the next year. Many of our college graduates are going to further education or entering the workforce that may not be around Alamance County. But we do celebrate with them today. So this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted to recognize each of our graduates that were with us this morning. And again, we have five high school graduates. Each are graduating. It's amazing. All five of our graduates this year from high school are graduating from Western Alamance High School, which is great. So our high school graduates this morning, our first high school graduate was Olivia Allred. She is graduating from Western and will be attending NC State University in the fall. Our second graduate, Catherine Farnham. Catherine is graduating from Western as well and will be attending North Carolina State University in the fall as well. Garrett Howard, graduating from Western, will be attending UNC Charlotte in the fall. Kaylin Mansfield, who's here with us this morning as well. Kaylin's graduating from Western, and she will be attending ACC in the fall with plans of transferring to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And our last high school graduate was Jacob Pritchard. And Jacob's graduating from Western, and he will be attending UNC Greensboro in the fall. So those are our five high school graduates. Our college graduates, we have six that we're recognizing this year. Our first college graduate is Julia Allison. She is graduating from North Carolina State University. And Julia will be going on to continue her graduate studies at the University of Virginia in the fall. Julie Averett, which is one of our own here from Elon, graduating from Elon University. Just graduated actually this past week. The Julie is going to be doing additional education in the future, also working on finding a job. That's what she told me this morning. So our next college graduate is Daniel Coble. Daniel is graduating from UNC Charlotte this fall with business management. He was sharing with me this morning that he has a chance, kind of a little interview going on tomorrow morning. So pray for Daniel tomorrow, and we'll hope this works out, and he's going to hopefully be staying in Alamance County. Our next college graduate is Emily Mathewson, formerly Pritchard, but Emily Mathewson now. And Emily graduated from ECU this spring, and Emily will be going back to ECU this fall working in speech pathology. Our next graduate is her new husband, Nate Mathewson. Nate graduated from East Carolina University as well. Nate is already majored in construction management, and he has already found a job. He'll be working in the Raleigh-Cary area starting in the next couple weeks. And our final college graduate is Ethan Reinheimer. Ethan has graduated from Appalachian State University this spring, just a couple weeks ago, right, Zoom? And Ethan is, I think, still up in Boone as we speak, right? He's will be in the workforce real soon. As soon as that's a good prayer. But those are our 11 graduates we have and represent today. So at this time, we
gladness and joy. Everything we have belongs to you, and we rejoice to give some of your abundant gifts back to you. Bless the tithes and offerings we give today. Let the majesty of the Father be the light that guides us. The compassion of the Son be the love that inspires us. And the presence of the Spirit be the power that empowers us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
gifts of the Holy Spirit bring fire to the earth so that the presence of God may be seen in a new light, in new places, in new ways. May our own hearts, Father, burst into flame so that no obstacle, no matter how great, ever obstructs the message of the God within each of us. May we come to trust the Word of God, Father, in our hearts, to speak it with courage, to follow it faithfully, and to fan its flames in others. May the Jesus who filled the disciples with the Holy Spirit fill the world and the church with new respect for his call and his mission. Give us, O great God, a sense of the breath of the Spirit within us this day. Amen. Again, I want to welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon. Thank you for joining us for this day of worship, this day of celebration, this day for the Christian church as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. On a Sunday where the Christian churches across the world, and I was sharing with the congregation earlier this morning that it's not just the United States, across the world, Christian churches gather this day to celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit and also the continued giving of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. I told our graduates that the Holy Spirit helped guide them to what they achieved. Let them not forget it. And hopefully we won't forget it as well, because the message this morning is not just for graduates. It's for every Christian that seeks to follow God. The Holy Spirit continues to provide every single day our daily needs to be successful in this world. And if we think about it, that's something that we all strive to be. Let's face it, we want to be successful. But not always we decide to try to achieve success are always positive. Athletes, for example, instead of putting grueling hours at a time into practice and getting in the best shape they could possibly be, they might decide to cut a corner, maybe try steroids to try to boost their ability on the practice field. Business leaders, someone may try to gain an upper hand in earning finances or making money by getting some insider knowledge and trading and then turning that knowledge into a cheap dollar. Individuals try to cut the system to create success in their lives in many different ways. And I challenged and I reminded our college graduates today, you know what? Don't lie on that resume that you're going to send out to the jobs that you want to get. I said, because eventually it will catch up with you. Don't use that idea of getting success, because that's not how we achieve success. We achieve success through God and through the Holy Spirit. So how do we do it? How do we make ourselves successful? How do we become successful in this world in which we live in? The Bible gives us some insightful guidelines of things that we should follow when we try to obtain this success, not just in our own eyes, but also in the eyes of God. Now, early on, each of us, probably in our academic career, Pam teaches elementary school kids over here, so I was thinking about this morning, Pam. I said, early on, we teach our students what's a good grade and what's not a good grade. I remember back in kindergarten, I learned quickly that A is what you wanted and F is not what you did not want. Now, if you think about all those designations of the grades we give, A is for the pinnacle. That means you achieved the very top, the best grade that you could possibly be, and you have mastered that subject. A B grade, on the other hand, not so bad. B means that you've done above average. You've done well, and that you understand whatever assignment or whatever class you've had. A C signals average. Oftentimes we say C is not average, but C signals an average, that a student achieved the average of what they needed to do to accomplish and to pass the course. Now, then we start going the other direction, a D. A D means that, well, you may rightfully pass, just barely. You haven't mastered the subject. You probably need to do a little bit more work, and that you'll do better the next time. But then we get to that dreaded letter. Now, back in my day in elementary school, you got an E. It wasn't an F, but you got an E. But today in society, you get an F. If you do not master a subject, if you do not do well, if you you don't do average, if you don't do slightly good enough to pass, you get an F. You fail. Failure. That's an awful thing. That's an awful thing. But this morning, I want us to change our mindset a little bit about that letter F. Because F, in some eyes, looks like failure. But in God's eyes, that letter F can be some challenging and some exciting things. So this morning, I want to challenge you with the three F's for success. Now, the first F, and this doesn't go just for graduates, this goes for absolutely anyone. The first F that we need to achieve success is the challenge to face our fears. Let's face it. We are all afraid at some point in our lives. We may be afraid right now. We may be afraid just last week. We may be afraid in weeks to come. But we all face fear at some point in our life. And it usually manifests itself in some different forms. Maybe it's sleepless nights, overwhelming stress, maybe medical issues. And the list continues. It goes on and on and on. Even the strongest people in the world face fears. Came across a story recently about one of the strong men in the world, a football player by the name of Ricky Williams. And now I date myself a little bit because I remember watching Ricky Williams play college football and then professional football in the NFL. Ricky Williams was one of the absolute best running backs in college football. And so when he graduated from college, he got drafted first round to go to the New Orleans Saints to be a running back for them. And everybody expected Ricky Williams, this strong, fast, agile running back, to be the next big thing on the NFL platform. Well, that first year didn't go as many expected. Williams struggled. He struggled not just on the field, but off the field. What we found, what they discovered, is that Ricky Williams had a social anxiety disorder. And what that social anxiety disorder did to him is it made him fearful of talking to other people. So when he had to be interviewed by the press, which was required back in the day, he couldn't do it. He would stutter. And many thought, what's wrong with him? What's going on with him? And then it just didn't do it in the press box, but when he went on the football field, it started to affect him as well. This strong man that should be achieving everything that's possible, he was struggling. He was afraid. What we see is that Ricky Williams, a couple years later, got traded to the Miami Dolphins. And when they finally diagnosed him with what he was struggling with, he received counseling. And then all of a sudden, things started achieving. He started doing the things that they expected him to do. Having fear is not wrong. Ricky Williams' fear was not wrong. Having fear is not wrong. At any point in our life, we are going to face fear. We are going to have to face it head on. At any point in our life, we feel the same fear that the disciples felt that day, last Sunday, when we talked about Ascension Sunday, when Jesus ascended into heaven. What did the disciples do? They were afraid. They were afraid. They even locked themselves behind doors to prevent from coming out. Fear is going to happen. When we allow it to consume us, that's when we are in trouble. When we live in a constant state of fear, start avoiding things because of that fear, that's when we are facing trouble. How do we overcome it? So what's the first F? How do we overcome it? We have to face our fears. If you have your Bibles, I've got three passages we're going to look at this morning, but the first one speaks to this one more clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 this morning. What does Paul have to say about fear? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Keep in mind, when Paul wrote these words, he was writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. One that he had left in one of the churches that he found to run the church, to make decisions for the church, to move forward. And what was Timothy experiencing? Just experiencing fear. Fear. So how did Paul say? What is he saying here? Paul was encouraging Timothy, and he encourages our graduates today. today. He encourages each one of us today to have confidence in facing our fears. Do not run from these fears. They are going to be present in every point of our life. We're going to face fear, but we have to face them. We don't run from them. We don't cower in the corner. We have to be willing to stand up and face that fear. Be willing to stand against someone if that's what it means. Be willing to try something new if that's what it means. Be willing to say to society that's just not right if that's what it means. We have to be willing to make ethical decisions in your work and in your life if that's what it means. We have to be willing, and I was telling the students, be willing to be the one that does the schoolwork right, not cheating, to do your very best. The reason why we can face fear today is that God gave us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of self-discipline. And that's rooted in the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. But that's not the only F. That's just the first one. The second F says this. The second F for success is to challenge ourselves to forget our failures. Unfortunately, humanity does not have a very good track record on this. We don't actually have a very good understanding of failure. When we hear the word failure, immediately we're flooded with negative thoughts and negative ideas and negative experiences from the past. We have all failed at something. It may not have been a school grade or a school assignment, but we've all failed at one thing or another. As a society, we hate failure. Many individuals who experience failure allow this to prevent us from trying to do something new. Oh, I would try to ride a bike, but the very first time I got on the bike, I fell down. I failed. Not going to do it again. Not going to do it again. Or, oh, I sent a resume out to this job that I really wanted, but they turned me down, so I'm done. I'm not sending it out anymore. I failed. Or, I've been in this boat, I tried to learn a foreign language during high school and college. I did my best to be able to learn to speak something, but I didn't do so well in that class. I failed, so forget it. I'm not going to try to learn it again. We've all been there. Got an amen from Gail on that one. Everyone fails at one point in his or her life. We do it. Failure is not the end of the world. In fact, and this is what society has lost about failure, failure can be the beginning of success. Listen to the words of Paul that he writes in his letter to the Philippians. Reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 this morning. Not that I have been obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says we need to forget what is behind us and press forward. Paul made many mistakes in his life. Remember that whole persecuting Christian thing? If you were sending out a resume about a good Christian, that is not something that you want to include on your resume. Paul failed in many different areas, but he said keep pressing forward. He did not allow that failure to stop him. He did not dwell on it or allow it to control him. I remember years ago, many years ago, when I was working on my doctorate at Campbell University. My doctorate of ministry, something that I always wanted to do. And about the second year into this program, this process, is when the real writing starts to take place. Basically, you have to write a long, it's not a dissertation, but you have to write a long paper that becomes a book. And so I got to that point in the school. Things were stressful. There was all the types of things going around me in my life. I was stressed. I was failing to use the time that I needed to on my schoolwork. And I started to struggle academically. I failed a couple assignments in that process. And I got to the point I said, you know what? I think I'm done. I'm done. I don't have the focus and the energy to go anymore. You see, failure do not think I can do this. I said, I learned a lot in these 2 years, but maybe that's all I was intended to do. She may be tapping into the Philippians chapter 3 this morning, but more likely being tapped by the Holy Spirit and words of God. And she said these words, if you want to stop, I completely understand. If you want to stop, I completely understand. However, do not quit because you're afraid you're going to fail. If you fail, we will cross that bridge when it comes. Those words of wisdom given by the Holy Spirit pushed me forward, and I was able to finish the degree. If we sit and dwell upon the failures that we experience or the anticipated failures that we think might come, we will never get anywhere. We stay in neutral. We're not in drive. We're not in reverse. We're just sitting stuck. That's not what God wants for us. We will never succeed if that's what we do. We will be afraid to do anything new. If you try something and fail, learn from it and then move forward. Gain knowledge from it and move forward. Leave it in the past, learn from it, leave it in the past, and move forward. Because there's better opportunities that lie ahead of us. And guess who they're provided by? The Holy Spirit. That's the second F. We've got a third F this morning, though. The third F for success is the challenge to follow our faith. In the act of running, you talk to any long-distance runner, they always know what their ultimate goal is. They know where the finish line is. Whether they can see it or not, whether it's way far off, they know the path and all the turns they have to do to achieve their goal. The finish line serves as their reference point. They know what they have to push through to get there. Many of you have heard the history, the historical story of Apollo 13, right? The space shuttle that went up many years ago was supposed to land on the moon, but ran into mechanical difficulties, and they were unable to do so. It's a great movie. If you've ever seen Apollo 13, it's worth a couple hours of your time to watch it. But anyway, the story goes as this. As they're going to the moon, the space shuttle basically starts falling apart, and they start running out of power. And their goal initially was to land on the moon, but soon it takes different shape. And instead of going to the moon, they've got to get back to Earth alive. So they're conserving energy. They're cutting down all the power on their ship so the machine that's pushing oxygen into the space shuttle is working. But at one point during this treacherous trip, they had to turn the power back on. It's basically for 39 seconds. They had to turn the power back onto the ship so they could redirect their path, so they could figure out which way to go. So for 39 seconds, astronaut Jim Lovell looks through a tiny, tiny piece of glass on their space shuttle, about the size of my fingers right here. And he is trying to figure out what way to go. And he has to find a focal point because the machine that normally did it wasn't working. And so as he's doing this, and for 39 seconds, he decides Earth is going to be my focal point. So he finds Earth in the glass, and he makes sure the space shuttle constantly can see, that he can constantly see Earth as he reshifts the lever to make sure the space shuttle's going the direction that it did. He found his focal point. He found his focal point, and he was able to achieve success because they got back to Earth alive. So my question to you today is this. What is your reference point? What is your focal point? I talked to our graduates this morning about you've always got to be looking at something. And just because you're crossing the finish line now doesn't mean you're done. You've got to keep going forward. But Scripture tells us what our true focal point should be. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is our focal point. Jesus is our reference point. That's not just for our graduates. That's for every single one of us. Let us fix our eyes on him. On him and follow him. What happens often is that we often take our eyes off Jesus and we start looking at something else, more money, better jobs, possessions, other things, and we forget our reference point. We forget our focal point. Then we do not achieve the finish line that we should be crossing. To finish the race, we need to continue to follow our faith. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, just like the song that was just sung. Allow the Spirit to guide us. Any other reference point will lead you astray. My hope this morning is that our graduates, that everybody sitting here in our sanctuary this morning, all those that are watching at home this morning, achieve success in your life. That's my ultimate goal. I hope all of you achieve success. But do not forget the three F's that will serve as your guide. Face your fears. Forget your failures. And follow your faith. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not a guarantee for a high-paying job, the newest car, the best possessions. Life is hard. Life is tough. Yet God is stronger than any fear that we might face. God will let you overcome the failures that you experience along the way. And God will guide you as you follow your faith every single day. He sent us the Spirit to do this. He's our helper. He's our guide. This is how we will be successful in this world. Let's pray. Father, as we think about our past and our past experiences, the fears that we have faced, the failures that we have experienced, getting off track when looking at the wrong focal point, we know you sent the Holy Spirit on this day when we celebrate Pentecost, that you sent him many years ago, and just as he guided the disciples, the Spirit is guiding us today. Father, we give you thanks for that guidance. We give you thanks for the opportunity to keep our focus on you. In every step of the way, facing fears or failures or whatever may come, we know that if we keep our eyes on you, you will guide our path. We celebrate that opportunity to be successful in your eyes today. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who was successful in his ministry and beyond. Amen. As we come to our time of singing our closing hymn this morning, think about those times in your life where you faced fear. Think about those times where you experienced failure. Think about those times where you maybe got off track because you were looking at the wrong focal point. Maybe today, for the very first time, you recognize that Jesus has to be where my eyes are focused on. If that's your first time you've experienced that today, please come down front, or if you're watching online, call me, contact me, let's talk this week, and talk to you about what it means to keep Jesus as your central focus. Or maybe you're looking for a church body that seeks to be successful in God's eyes, not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. Come be a part of our family. Or if you're just struggling right now, maybe you're facing a fear. Maybe you're still lingering on a failure from the past. Maybe you just kind of got off direction a little bit, and you need to come down and lay that to the Lord this morning. The altar is open. Come down. I'll talk with you if you want to come talk with me. But don't put it off. Don't put it off. And remember that each and every step of the way, we have the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn today and lift praise to him who gives us direction. successful in this world, successful in God's eyes. Take the Spirit with you. He's guiding you every step of the way. Go in peace this morning.